Yeah, what's up, Jeff?
What's up, Sean?
All right. I think it's recording. Hold on.
No, it is. It says
all right. Recording. All right, it is recording. All right. So, as you can tell, we really don't know what we're doing, but it's a start. So, it's Play Ball News. You've probably seen us from our blogs. I'm Sean. And then the other person here right now is Jeff. Travis might be coming in. So, first, we're just going to talk a little about it's upcoming weekend. It's a big weekend in sports. Big weekend in football. Saturday night is the NFL honors. We'll talk about that first, and then we'll touch on the Super Bowl, of course. 52 Eagles Patriots. So, where do you want to start, Jeff? What award do you want to start with first?
I mean, let's do MVP.
Best MVP got to start big. All right, who do you think is going to win? Who's your projection?
You know, I really think Todd Gurley deserves it this year, but I've read stuff that says Tom Brady's getting it, and I also follow an account on Twitter where someone got a photo.
And oh, yeah, I saw that.
On the speech for the MVP is Brady's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of confusing because he won't even be at the awards show because it's a Saturday before the Super Bowl, so he'd be home in his hotel sleeping. So I'm like, where the hell is he going to give that speech, you know? Like, but I agree. I think Gurley had such a great year that he really deserves it.
But it's like it's almost like it's a quarterback award.
Yeah, it's basically like a most outstanding quarterback. It's not most valuable. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Like, if Brady wasn't playing and they had to play with Hoyer, it's completely different. But if you take Gurley out and you make Jared Goff, I mean, Jared Goff had a great year. Don't get me wrong.
Well, it's easy to look at Prescott last year. It's
exactly.
Easy to go 13-3 when you have a running game and a great offensive line.
Yeah, and then look at him this year. Zeke suspended, offensive line issues, and
Prescott
Dez was
came back down to earth.
Yeah, he wasn't that great.
Skip
so
shove his thumb up his ass.
Yeah, Skip Bayless, man. Let me get me started on Skip Bayless. I think Gurley deserves it. And I think you can even put Antonio Brown to that discussion. I mean, he's never going to win it because Le'Veon is there and Big Ben is there, but he just puts up monster numbers every game. So I think Brady's going to win it.
Antonio Brown's good. How about DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, that was unbelievable. For a team, for the quarterbacks, besides the weeks he was with Watson, which
Antonio Brown, I'm not really sure what he can do without Big Ben because I know Big Ben loves throwing him.
Yeah,
but
he's
Hopkins
never played
put up these numbers with Watson,
Tom Savage,
T.J.
Yates.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
He catches everything that's thrown to him, and he's always on the field. Always.
Always. Yeah. Always. So yeah, I mean, Hopkins should be up in that conversation, no doubt. But like,
he's
I think
not
we both
win it. But he
yeah,
should.
I think we both agree. It seems to be a quarterback driven award. So with that being said, I think we both agree that Brady's gonna win it tomorrow night, Saturday night. But Gurley definitely deserves, you know, recognition. And if you move to transition that to offensive player of the year, I think it's clear that Gurley has to win offensive player of the year.
Yeah, he has to.
He has to. I mean, the year he had. I mean, I'm looking now on Bleacher Report has like a preview and stuff.
Yeah.
They said the only one they felt was a worthy candidate as Brady. And Gurley is Antonio Brown. But like you said, like Gurley was just ridiculous this year. I mean, and the crazy thing is like look at it last year, right? Last year he was a bust for most teams. Like
yeah,
I had him in fantasy, he was a bust.
He was. He was
the whole team was. And then this year, people, you know, he's fallen to later rounds of fantasy, and nobody's expecting anything from them.
How much
get a new coach
had on Jeff Fisher?
I mean, you have to. I mean, look, they were terrible, terrible. And look at the two quarterbacks that were in the NFC Championship game. They played for Fisher and were just nobodies. And now they were playing to represent the NFC, and now Foles is playing to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's
and Goff looked like a bust, looked like a complete bust, and then now he's a Pro Bowler.
Sean McVay is a great coach.
Yeah, and it's crazy, dude. He's 31. I mean, he's so young. You know, like he's younger than some of his players. But yeah, so offensive player of the year I think is Gurley. We have MVP so far with Brady. Defensive player of the year. I mean, there's a few candidates I think. To me, I think you have to put Calais Campbell, what he did for the Jaguars, up in that conversation.
I would put Chandler Jones for Arizona.
Yeah, that was the second person I was gonna say.
He had 17 sacks this year.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, Campbell, 14 and a half sacks, and was the league's about the best defense his first year. I mean, they were really good. Don't get me wrong, but
Jacksonville.
What'd you say?
Called him Saxonville.
Yeah, right. I mean, Saxonville for a reason, right? But yeah, I mean, Chandler Jones would probably be up there. I mean, 17 sacks, even his 8-8, but 17 sacks, 17 sacks.
Vikings safety Sendejo.
Yeah,
he's
Jalen Ramsey up there. Jalen Ramsey had a great year. Marshawn Lattimore of the Saints. He'll probably win. I think we'll get to it later, but I think he's up there for defensive rookie of the year. And then always up there, always in that conversation for defense player of the year has to be Aaron Donald. I mean, this guy,
yeah. He
sat out the entire preseason and he just dominated. He's unblockable.
He's the best one technique in recent memory in the NFL.
You can't block him.
Nope.
You can't. It's ridiculous. I mean,
he's got the speed and the footwork of a cornerback with the strength of a lineman.
Yeah, he's huge. I mean, he deserves that big contract that he'll probably be getting this offseason or soon. So, with that,
I'm not sure who would win defensive player.
I don't know. Yeah, I think at first I thought that was their offensive rookie of the year, which we'll get to next, was the hardest one for me. But I mean, this defense. I mean, there's so many good options. So I really think it's a toss-up. I'm gonna go with, if I had to pick one, who would you pick?
I would pick Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I would pick another member of that defense. I would pick Calais Campbell. Just because of that 14 and a half sacks, breaking the franchise record. Saxonville was because of, you know, him. He came over from Arizona and just, you know, he saw a team that he wanted to win. And I mean, look what they did.
Yeah, he had a revival in his career because he was starting.
He was starting to fade. He's getting up there. I mean, he's a great player, but he always was a great player. But this year, he seemed to go to another level. So let's go move on to offensive rookie of the year. I think there's two clear front runners, and then a third, like, up and coming that at any other year, he might be up in the conversation. So I'm talking Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara are two clear for me.
Yeah.
Clear. Yep. I think that the up and coming one, the one that was in any other year would be in the top of the conversation, was Juju Smith-Schuster. He had a great year. You could throw Fournette in there too. I mean, Fournette had a great year. I mean, they had Blake Bortles. They ran the ball all the time. But I think if I had to pick one, I'd pick Kamara. After thinking about it,
I
wrote a blog a while back predicting the awards, and I said I couldn't pick one between Hunt and Kamara. But thinking about it now, I think Kamara. I mean, he was just dynamic for that team.
Every weekend he showed up and played. And
he did something like
huge numbers.
He had 81 receptions for 826 yards. And 728 rushing yards, excuse me, in his rookie year. And then he returned kicks. I mean, he split time with Ingram, but, I mean, they were both just dominant.
He was like, Alvin Kamara was like Darren Sproles like 6 years ago, but
yeah, and bigger. Like, he's just a bigger dude than Darren Sproles. I mean, Darren Sproles is a little guy.
What I really liked about watching Kamara and watching film on him, he would – they'd run him on with, like, outside zones and on, like, swing routes. And for a smaller running back, he wasn't afraid to lower his shoulder.
Back
you see running out of bounds, he would stay in and make sure the defender coming to hit him got a little taste of, you know.
And the crazy thing is that imagine how they would be if AP was still there, Peterson, when they signed at the beginning of the year. And then they traded him, and then they took off.
I think they were actually smart for getting rid of Peterson.
Oh, yeah. It just didn't – like, even when they brought him in, to me, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I'm like, where does he fit? Because they had – I mean, Ingram's a stud. Kamara, I really – I mean, to be honest, like, as much of a football he's not that big name that you think about coming out of the draft. I mean, him and Kareem Hunt, I mean, they're not, you know, not top picks. They're not Leonard Fournette. Everybody knows Leonard Fournette from LSU. I didn't know much about Kamara. I've heard of him. I heard that, you know, he was intriguing to some. But, I mean, he had a great year. So,
yeah,
I think once they moved on from Peterson.
You heard more of Joe Mixon than you did out.
Yeah, Joe Mixon. You heard of, especially with the whole incident. So, yeah. Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Christian McCaffrey had a solid year. But, I mean, with the other running backs in the class.
He was nowhere near Kamara.
No, nowhere near either of them. Him or Hunt. And Hunt led the league in rushing. I mean, people, I didn't even recognize that. I realized that he led the league in rushing.
Yeah, he wanted to play the last game.
Yeah, he played like one series and got it. So, yeah, I think Kamara will go in. So, I think another Saint. I mean, the Saints draft class was ridiculous. They got Kamara. They got Ryan Ramczyk to play right tackle. That kid Marcus Williams made a bonehead play in the Vikings playoff game, but.
I don't know what was he doing.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. But I mean, all year they just played with all these. They were a young team. They played really well, and I think for me, the defensive rookie of the year has to be Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, he was shut down corner, top corner, one of the top corners in the league as a rookie. And in the entire league, I mean, he could be pretty much in the conversation for defensive player of the year. He played that well. I really don't. I don't think I would put anybody else. I mean, T.J. Watt maybe, but not even. He's not in the same comparison of the season.
No, you can't. Not yet.
You can't. I mean, think he was just a stud. Another one. Let's see on the bleach. I'm just looking on Bleach Report because they got all the odds and everything who they pick. I'm kind of just trying to see. They got Coach of the Year. Now their pick for Coach of the Year is McVay. I think you could put McVay. I think you could put Doug Marrone from Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's been a laughing stock. I mean, basically all of our lives. Basically their whole entire – besides when we were really little, late 90s, when Coughlin was there, when they were competitive. I mean, besides that, they've never – they've had a good player here and there, but they've never been –
No, they never have.
No. So I could put Jacksonville's coach Doug Marrone in there. Even Doug Peterson, the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles last year, I mean, Wentz showed some signs, but – this year they were dominant when he was there, and even now with Foles.
Well, I remember reading over the summer, and I made fun of him for this. Doug Peterson came out and said this year's Eagles team has the same talent as the '96 Packers team that won the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots. And
was on that team,
are
right?
You crazy, but the Eagles are really, really good.
I mean, they're stacked. I mean, look at it. Look, they were 4.5 or whatever. I think the line is 4.5 point. Underdogs to defending champion Patriots, dynasty Patriots with the best coach probably ever, best quarterback probably ever, with their backup quarterback. And they're only 4.5 point favorites, and many people are picking them. I mean, look, a lot of people are picking. I was watching Golic and Wingo this morning doing homework, and they both picked them. I'm a lifelong Giants fan. It's tough. Like, and I can't, as much as I don't like either team, because there's just something about the Patriots.
I don't understand why you're. I know that's something I never understood.
I don't like. It's
you
not,
played them twice.
It's
in
not
the Super Bowl. You beat them. Both
yeah, we
times.
Beat them twice. Yeah, I just think it's you know, sometimes when you're just repeating the same teams, like especially the Patriots in the Super Bowl or winning all the time, you just want something different. Like, and I want something different, but now they're playing the Eagles, who I can't stand, man. I hate Philly Giants fans. Oh, dude, and Philly fans are the worst. I mean, look at them when they beat the freaking Vikings, man.
They're
just
pretty bad.
They're crazy. And with every sport.
What's going to be worse? They riot if they lose or they riot if they win?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have no idea. I mean, I would think riot if they win, but I it's tough, man, because it's – but the thing is, like, as much as I hate the Eagles, man, I respect what Foles is doing for his team. Because, I mean, that's a tough situation. Coming in from what arguably I think if he stayed healthy, if Wentz stayed
MVP.
Healthy, Wentz was MVP. The MVP. Clear. He was dominant.
He can run. Brady can't do that.
Yeah. But he got hurt, and Foles stepped into a tough situation, didn't play well. Besides, when he played the Giants. But the Giants played well against them.
Well, remember, Foles is no scrub. He did go 27.
No, yeah, he's probably one of the better backups in the league, if you think about it. I mean, he compared to every other backup. I mean, as a Giant fan, for example, Eli took Eli up to Geno Smith, and Geno Smith's trash. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if they think, oh, let me put him in my system. He's got some talent. No, he's complete trash. He's a head case. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that. Let's just try to stick to these awards. I don't even want to go off on our first podcast. But, yeah, so back to the Coach of the Year. I think McVay's going to win because they went from worst to first in
points. That's what he did with that offense.
The offense was electrifying.
He brought him back.
It was just unique plays. It was, you know, different ideas. It was great. It was great to watch, even from afar. I mean, I didn't get to always watch Rams games being out here in New York, in New Jersey, but it was fun. It was fun. So I think that probably sums up all the awards. But I think, like, we'll go over again. I think both of us think Gurley deserves the MVP, but Brady's going to get it because it's more of a quarterback award for some reason. We both think that Gurley's going to win Offensive Player of the Year. Defense Player of the Year is where we're kind of like, we don't know. I think
we both think it's Calais
Campbell. We both think it's going to be a Jacksonville defender. I think it's Calais Campbell, the defensive end. You think Jalen Ramsey, the corner. I mean, he's probably – would you put him the top corner in the league right now? He's up there.
He's definitely up there. He's big. He's physical.
He's fast. He's smart.
AJ Green down.
Oh, that was crazy, man. That was a crazy brawl. I mean, I think he's up there. Patrick Peterson still got to be up there. Sherman, I guess you could, but Sherman was hurt this year, so I mean, he got hurt.
Darius Slay maybe for the Lions.
Darius Slay, yeah, he's surprised. I mean, he's under the radar because he plays in Detroit. I think next year, especially with Matt Patricia, the defense coordinator from the Patriots going over there, maybe he'll get to be showcased a little more.
Yeah, hopefully.
And people might start talking about
hopefully
him.
Hopefully my number 12 embarrasses the hell out of him.
Yeah, yeah. You're big old Aaron Rodgers. Discount double checking on him. And then Offensive Rookie of the Year, we both got Camaro. Defensive Rookie of the Year, we got another Saint in Marshawn Lattimore. And then Coach of the Year, we both got McVay.
Yep.
So, I mean, those are our NFL honors. That's tomorrow night. That's Saturday, February 3rd. So we're recording this on Friday night. So let's go to the Super Bowl, which is coming up fast. Coming up fast. It was a long week, but it went quick, just like every Super Bowl week goes. Thank God I'm not living in Minnesota. I mean, the temperatures they were saying these past few days were brutal.
I think it's they need to man up, play outdoors.
You're a big outdoor guy. Yeah. Me, I'm like, I like the outdoors, but that stadium is beautiful. I remember seeing it when it first opened, watching they were on like Sunday night or Monday night. It's a beautiful stadium.
It takes away from something, though. Like, you're a baseball guy. Would you rather the baseball park be outdoors or in a dome?
Oh, always outdoors. I hate it, especially, you know, and as a baseball player, I love grass. I hated turf. I hated playing on turf.
The ball keeps rolling.
Yeah, like, so for baseball for me is meant to be played on grass or like artificial grass or like not turf, not like rubber pellets turf where the ball is just going to keep rolling. There's no bounces, no hops, you know, there's no playing the ball. And football is the same thing. Football playing inside is completely different. Your temperature's controlled. You don't have to worry about the weather. You don't have to worry about the ground getting cold or anything like that. You're getting cold.
Teams do play better. Teams are faster.
I just like it. I mean, I'm a bit. I love those like old school games. You know, great defense, which this Super Bowl could be, especially with the Eagles. They got great defense, but I like that old school kind of defense.
No one scores like 51-45.
No, I don't think the Super Bowl. I think it'll be close because every Patriots Super Bowl is close. But it's tough for me if I'm going to pick a close game, if I'm going to project a close game, to not pick Tom Brady because he just seems to do everything right. So I think personally, I'll go first. I think personally that the Super Bowl, the first quarter and the first half are going to be dominated by Philly. I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy. Going to, you know, hit Brady. They're going to get on him. They might get a turnover here and there. They might score. I don't think they're going to blow it open like the Falcons did last year. Mm-hmm. Or the Jaguars. Or I think it'd be closer to like what the Jaguars did.
Yeah.
Like 20-10, maybe a 10, maybe not that high scoring, but like a closer score. And I think Brady, in his last game, supposedly, reportedly, with the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, I think, you know, he'll come out and make adjustments like they always do, keep it close. And I think, I mean, personally, I don't know what the score would be. I'm going to probably say right now, I'll say it right now to keep it. I'm going to go 27-24 Patriots with a Nick Foles interception late. I think they're going to be trying to drive to get that tying field goal. Mm-hmm. And then a Patriot defender is going to make a great play. Maybe it's Gilmore or McCourty or somebody. But I think – and the MVPs, I think it's going to be Brady. But I think I just can't – like, it's tough. And I'm watching all these NFL players and stuff, and they're like, it's tough to pick against Brady because he just – he makes every play right. Every play late in the clutch moment, he just shows up and makes plays. And, I mean, you can't deny it. You can't stop it. I mean
– well, in 07 and 2011, he got out-clutched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eli stepped up. And I think if the Eagles are going to win, they're going to have to do that kind of recipe where they hit him and hit him often. I mean, look at the first Super Bowl, the first Giants-Patriots Super Bowl, 07. I mean, Tuck, you had Umanyori, you had Strahan, you had Dave Tolleson, you had all of them. Just
Antonio Pierce, Corey.
And, yeah, just pounding him constantly. In the second Super Bowl, you had Tuck, you had Chris Canty, you had like that, just a great bunch, and you keep it close, you wear it out, you have to run the ball. I mean, they could run the ball. They got LeGarrette Blount, they got Ajayi, they could run the ball.
Yeah,
and they have a great O line. I mean, they it's very under. I mean, I don't sound like a Giant fan giving credit to the Eagles, but as a football fan, you got to admit it. I mean, they're a great team. They're loaded. If it was a game on paper, I think the Eagles will win. They have more talent.
Their right tackle is an all-pro. And who's their left tackle that got hurt?
Peters.
Yeah.
He's hurt. But the guy that they brought in to step in, this young – I think he's a rookie. He's played really well. They got a good right guard. They have Kelsey's brother, the center. He's good. And they got a lot better weapons than last year. Jeffrey's played well. Zach Ertz is – I think Zach Ertz is the third best tight end in the league, behind Kelsey and Gronk. He's up there. I mean, he's fast. He's got to stay healthy. But yeah, I think, like I said, I can't pick against Brady, and I can't pick the Eagles, but I really can't pick against Brady.
See, I went against the grain. I was looking at, you look at all the Super Bowls the Patriots have won with Brady. They beat the Panthers with a field goal. They beat the Eagles, Andy Reid's Eagles, because Andy Reid mismanaged the time on the clock.
Yeah.
They pulled out a squeaker against Atlanta.
On a walk-off, the biggest collapse.
Well, why didn't sports history run the ball a couple years ago from the 2-yard line?
Yep.
I just think Brady has gotten so many breaks.
I think
he's not going to get one.
Yeah. I could see that. I do think they've been fortunate in a lot of situations. I just think that they capitalize on every mistake. You make a mistake in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and they're going to capitalize on it. They're going to, you know, you turn the ball over in your red zone, or you turn the ball over deep in your territory, and they have short field. They're going to score. I mean, they're just always capitalize. This is probably the greatest sports dynasty ever. I mean, think about it. For Belichick and Brady, it's like, what, 18, 17, 18 years?
Yeah.
They're in their 8th Super Bowl. They're trying to win their 6th. I mean, that's –
well,
it's tough, man.
Belichick is – I've never – I mean, he's obviously got the resume, but knowing from a scheme perspective, I've never seen anybody better at exposing weak points in a defense than Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah, because what they'll do is they'll take away your best option. So you know – I think what they could do, what they're probably going to do, is take away the run game and make Nick Foles make throws and play physical.
Well, I was talking about from an offensive perspective.
No, yeah, that's true. They change their game plans for everything, do completely different things. I was listening to Teddy Bruschi. He said, I forgot what Super Bowl he was talking about. I think it was Eagles one, the first one. And they were playing this, I forgot what defense, like regular defense they always play. Then they get to the Super Bowl, they noticed a couple things. They completely changed their defense that has never been on tape. So the Eagles were, the first quarter or first half, they were like, had to try to make adjustments on the fly because they're playing a defense they never saw on tape. So, I mean, it's impressive. If, I don't know if you saw the two Bills, the 30 for 30 last night. It was fantastic. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you could see, like, even as a young assistant with the Giants, with the when he was coach of the Browns, when he was helping with the Patriots and the Jets and all those teams he worked for, I mean, he's a genius. And they called him a genius because he knew what to do, like, schematically and all that. I mean, X's and O's, it's impressive, man. It really is.
I just think if the Eagles – I have them winning 31-20, and I do not think the Patriots will get it that close at all. Maybe at the very start of the game, but
– Now, is that in part because of how great the Eagles' defense is?
I think it's because – we've seen it before when a very good offense plays a very good defense. Yeah. Defense. Look at Seattle and Denver in that Super Bowl.
That was a complete embarrassment. Yeah.
I don't think.
Like the Giants and the Patriots in the first to 07.
Right.
Great. Yeah.
Probably one of the greatest offenses ever. Put up 14 points.
Yeah.
Against the Giants D. The Eagles' pass rush is better than the Patriots, and they will be better this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, look, Fletcher Cox. What I think they're going to try to do is not let Fletcher Cox beat them. But they still got Brandon Graham. They got Timmy Jernigan, Chris Long. Who that rookie Barnett, I think, from Tennessee. But the thing is, like, they have a great front four. They have great linebackers and they have a great secondary. They're just great at every level.
If you can put pressure on the quarterback rushing four and drop seven, you're gonna win
against Brady, yeah. Because then he's gonna feel pressure, he's gonna know where to throw.
And he can't move.
I think the key though is if they're gonna double or bracket Gronk, then the Patriots are gonna look for Amendola. Because he's like a poor man's Edelman, basically. Although I think they're very similar in skill set. I think Edelman's a little better. But they're like the same size. They do the same kind of things. But I think if I'm going to pick an X factor, like we'll just pick an X factor.
I already have mine.
So my X factor for the Patriots offense against the defense, it's multiple. It's the three running backs, the Burkhead, James White, Deion Lewis. Because I think Gronk, yes, he's cleared and everything to go, but they're going to pay so much attention to him, and they're going to try to pay attention to Amendola for the game he had against Jacksonville. And they utilize their running backs in such a unique way. It's kind of like a running back by committee, but they all can catch, they all can run, they all can make people miss, they could all pass block. So I think those three are the biggest. And on defense, I think that their front defensive line has to get pressure. They don't have to hit Foles like the Eagles have to hit Brady. They just have to get pressure and stop the run and make Foles make throws. Because Foles, the last two playoff games, he's been great and completed 75% of his passes, but he's not a career 75% pass throw. He's not a scrub in any way. But I think that they're going to try to make Foles beat them, which is, I think, the key. So, I mean, those are my two X factors. I think the running backs for the Patriots against the great Philly defensive line, defensive team, and then the defensive front trying to get pressure and stop the run against the Eagles offense.
All right. So, I guess I'll do the Eagles now because I have them winning. First, I think LeGarrette Blount should have anywhere from 10 to 12 carries. Ajayi should have no less than 15. They need to keep Brady and the Patriots offense off the field, although I do trust the Eagles defense.
Yeah, but
Tom Brady.
And it's the Super Bowl. I mean, you're so jacked up in the Super Bowl that if you can keep the opposing offense and keep your defense on the sideline and give them rest, I mean, because they're going to be emotionally drained. But if they're, like, physically able to, like, take, you know, be on the field less, it might help them late in the game for the pass rush. I mean, if you look at the Jaguars, they seemed gassed at the end. The Falcons, too, last year. I mean, they were gassed. They couldn't stop them.
They couldn't. Nope.
So, yeah, I think that's a good one.
My X factor, though, is the third running back, Corey Clement.
Okay.
If Philly can use him on screens, outside zones, and swing routes, get him into space, I'm not real confident in the Patriots' defense, their ability to tackle. So trying to tackle him in open field is going to be fun to watch. And for the Eagles' defense, it's going to be about communication because Belichick is really good with exposing a defense's weak spots. I even wrote in the article, they need to not really deceive Brady, but sort of fake coverages in a way. Like, yeah. Pre-snap, show one coverage, and then at the snap of the ball, roll into a different coverage. I think the Eagles are going to shadow Gronkowski. Wherever he lines up, that'll be the strong side of the defense. Look for a lot of zone coverage over the middle and man-to-man outside because the Eagles' corners are physical, and I don't see Amendola having a big game. With who is it? Ronald Darby?
Yeah, that's their number one, I think.
He'll be all over Amendola. I don't see Amendola having a big game. Darby's a big corner, a big physical corner. It's going to come down to communication because if they're playing these hybrid type schemes where zone and man are in the playbook, it's going to be, you might see a busted play, but if the communication's good, I don't see New England's offense doing a hell of a lot.
I can see, yeah. Especially communication is because there's so much. The thing that I think is a huge X factor, non talking about like X's and O's or players, is how important and how obvious is the experience for the Patriots over the Eagles going to play. I mean, most of the roster for the Patriots were in the game last year. And have experienced and have won multiple Super Bowls or multiple playoff games. While the Eagles, for the most part, a lot of their young guys have not experienced winning the playoffs, not even been to the playoffs or anything like that. And definitely not Super Bowl. They haven't what? I think Malcolm Jenkins was his rookie year. Long and Blunt were last year. Maybe a few others that were in a Super Bowl on a different team.
Yeah.
So I want to see how. Because some, it might be obvious, it might be nothing, because they're so confident, the Eagles, that it might turn out to mean just nothing. But, you know, it's going to be tough and interesting to see if it really does play a factor, like early game nerves or post game nerves. I think in the middle of the game, they'll just get back to be playing football and stuff like that, just not worrying about it. But when it gets closer and closer to the end of the game, and especially if it's a close game, and they're just, you know, they might, maybe the young guys would be thinking, oh, like Brady's over there, like we can't mess up, we can't not, you know, try not to lose. The big thing with the Patriots, if you're going to beat the Patriots, you have to play to, you have to, if you're ahead,
you can't let up. If you're
you can't,
on,
no, look,
on their throat, you got to,
I mean,
down.
The big obvious thing was, look at the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, 2 weeks ago, excuse me, up 20-10, 55 seconds left, two timeouts. To 55 seconds to go in half, and they take two knees and just go to the locker room so they don't mess up. They don't let Bortles be Bortles. But if they're taking risks there, if they're trying, they happen to get another field goal to go up 13, or which has turned out to be a two possession game, and they have to score two touchdowns instead of field goal and a touchdown, or if they score a touchdown, they go up 17. I mean, it's a completely different halftime speech and stuff.
Yep,
so
big time.
Yeah.
Now I wasn't. I didn't really follow along. I didn't read anything. How much heat did Doug Marrone get for that?
I think he got a lot. I mean, especially down in Jacksonville. I just think that they were just like, why is he being so hesitant, but I guess because of Bortles and, you know, his, I don't know how to, the word to say.
Lack of skill set?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. I think they were just, they kind of understood it more than if it was like, you know, even like a Mariota or a Dak Prescott or someone like that, someone that has, you know, skills. But everybody looks at Bortles as like, you know, this, he played well. I mean, don't get me wrong, but he's a scrub, man. He sucks.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not. And then, I mean, we'll probably talk this another podcast, another blog, but if I'm the Jaguars, I mean, and Kirk Cousins is going to be out there, if they had Kirk Cousins with that defense and that run game and the weapons they have, I mean, I don't think Cousins is, you know, top five quarterback in the league, but nah. I mean, he's much better than Bortles. I mean, he can make plenty of throws.
That just proves the point of how far a defense can take you. You don't need a good quarterback to win. Look how far Bortles got.
Yeah. I mean, look, they won a defense or run game. I mean, think about defense and run game travel in the playoffs. But still, I mean, they got to within, half a quarter from the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles beating the best quarterback of all time and the best coach of all time, one of the best dynasties of all time. In New England. So, I mean, yeah.
Defense,
so,
my friend, defense.
So, yeah, I think you know, overall, I think it's going to be a great game. I think with this game, I'm much more like, I don't know. I mean, that partially could be because I don't like the Eagles. But respecting them, I mean, I don't know who's going to win. I mean, I think it's going to be – there's a lot of what-ifs in this game. So, that could be – just fun to watch. So I'm excited to watch. I mean, it sucks that it's the last game of the football season. Football season always goes by so fast.
It does.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for this Sunday. So
now, I mean, if you look back at last year, Brady in the Super Bowl, he looked pretty human for the first 2.5 quarters.
Yeah.
And for the last 5 games of the regular season, I think he had like 4 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So,
I think the big thing is early in the Super Bowl last year, the Falcons got to him. And I think if you get to him, because his O-line is not by any stretch of the means an elite offensive line. They're solid. They have like maybe one or two like above average players. The rest are just kind of average. But if you get to him, especially him, because he gets the happy feet because he can't move and he's older.
Yeah.
That could, you know, I mean, look, the Falcons got to him. They got up to a huge lead, and then they just took the foot off the gas. And then if you give him time, he's going to carve up anybody, no matter how old he is, no matter how many stitches he had in his hand. It doesn't matter. I mean, he will carve anybody up.
If so, one thing I'm hoping for this Sunday, I don't want to see any – we'll use the term questionable calls – Patriots way. God forbid. I don't want to see any refs patting Brady on the back or any of that
stuff. Yeah. I mean, I was listening. Like I said, I was listening to Golic and Wingo, and they were talking. Last week, I mean, 2 weeks ago. I keep saying last week. 2 weeks ago, it was definitely – there was a few that were like that A.J. Boye at the end of the half. P.I. was not, to me, a P.I.
It wasn't even catchable.
No. But in the history of Belichick Brady, there's like a 2 penalty difference between penalties against and penalties for, which I thought was kind of interesting. But that doesn't always factor in the ones that weren't called, or you know, the questionable ones. I think the Super Bowl is a little different. It's because you're on a national stage. It's much harder to do those questionable calls, like you know, siding for one team. But you know, I mean, I guess we'll see. So I'm really you know looking forward to it.
Gonna be a fun to watch.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, Super Bowl is always fun to watch. Always fun to watch. Unless it was the Broncos Seattle one a couple years ago. The one just got out of hand quick.
Yeah. If you bet safety on the first play of the game, you'll never have to work another day in your
life. Oh no. Yeah. Exactly.
What were the odds in Vegas for that?
probably made it. Probably put $10 down. You probably made a lot of money. You put $100 down. You probably, like you said, don't have to work another day in your life. But yeah. So I think, you know, I will repeat. I got the Patriots winning 27-24. I believe I had it, and you have the Eagles.
Philly 31-20.
So I mean, I guess we'll see. We'll probably get to a podcast early next week after the Super Bowl. We gotta see in our school schedules who else is available, work schedules, all that stuff. So.
Gotta wait for Travis up.
Yeah, gotta get him here. Gotta get anybody else that wants to be involved with us. Gotta let them know, and you know. So we'll see. So it was a good first one. Good 40 something minutes, 45 minutes basically.
It's actually 40 right now on the dot.
Yeah, so that's perfect. So, all right, man. I guess it was a good one. We'll get back to you guys soon. Just check us out, playballnews.wordpress.com. To follow us on Twitter and Instagram, that you'll find the accounts on the website. You see blogs, you see our terrific 10 series that I'm doing, counting down to spring training. Every day we do a new position or a new countdown for the top 10 at their positions. We're going to do lineups, we're going to do pitching rotations, bullpens, and then we'll get to teams before pitchers and catchers report. So baseball's coming soon, football's about to wrap up, so we'll check you guys out next time. So have a good one.
Yep. See ya.